Blog Talk Radio.
The merits of watermelon juice. Watermelon juice is also very good for the skin, especially those of you who live down south where it's really sunny. California people should know this. My girls should know this. You do not believe me. I want you to get up one morning, get you a nice slice of watermelon, and then just chill. About 2 or 3 hours later, just go ahead and touch that skin and see how soft it is.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff is like a miracle.
Mm. Yes, yes it is. Like the miracle fruit.
Natural sunscreen. And I know you're like, I came to hear gaming news. We're trying to keep you alive so you can game, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can't game when you're dead, at least as far as I know. Might be an awesome place to go and game when you're dead. Might be like, okay, anyway. we live in Texas, so we can breathe.
You can breathe the tea, don't inhale it.
We both choked at the same time. Yay. In case you are brand new here, because I always forget, we have moved over to Twitch and we've picked up quite a few of you from Twitch. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey. We are here every day, every weekday from 11.
Every day, baby.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes. And today, it is all about the women. All this past few weeks, it's been about the girls. I'm very proud to be a girl gamer.
We're turning a corner.
We're turning a corner. It's hurting, though. It's hurting bad to turn this corner.
Yeah, some of you guys, I love you. Don't get me wrong. Some of you guys just need to be slapped right upside the head.
Right?
I'm like, what is wrong with you?
I do want to give some love to Mary over at IndieVetty.com. Thanks for the games, lady. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys here are going to hate me because later on the day I'm just going to drop all of them. Bam!
Yeah, I'm going to hairstylist, so I'm not going to be here for a bit, so...
They'll be waiting for you in your email when you get back. It's just like, I'm going to cut you. Yeah. Hi, Mary. And hello, all of you out there. Apparently, watermelon juice also makes you giddy. Also, you guys need to go over and check out Ginger's review of Gravy. That's an awesome-looking game. You go by our site and check that out. It's on our Facebook page if you haven't looked. She also did checked out Benchmark. I didn't look at that one, so I don't know what you thought. I know you were fussing.
It took me about 8 tries for it to work with my computer because I've got 4 monitors and 2 graphics cards. It
4 now? Girl, okay, we were joking with you about being NASA, but you're up to 4 now, really?
I'm up to 4. And I modified my motherboard, so now it runs SLI.
Oh, geez.
And
good point.
Yeah, so when I ran the software is all like, no, your computer's not supposed to do this. Why is your computer doing this? No. And I was like, do it. And it was like, no, your monitors aren't the same. I was like, I don't care. Do it anyway.
Yeah, Dinda, you do know we're about 10 years or so out before you can actually talk and argue with the computer about what it should do. Just
girl, I argue with my computer because it hooks back. I tell you, it gives me pop-up windows. You cannot do that. Yes, I can. I can. You will too.
You will, or you will taste this liquid. No, no, not the liquid.
You will, or I'll rip you apart.
The new computer. How about that? One that'll do what I want it to do.
That's how it works. In your world, I am God.
Oh.
I said, let there be connectivity. and it was good.
All right.
It'll work.
It's all...
My wrath will come down on you.
Run, computer, run. Run, right. Baby, run. Well, speaking of corners, I'm going to throw this one. And this is actually short. I thought it was longer. But I have two things I'm going to throw here together. Okay, first off, the corner we're talking about that we're turning, and probably again we'll be discussing.
Can we run that video
right
now?
Yeah, go ahead, throw that video up. One Miss Chi Anoa. I'm sorry, I may be saying her name on Anwura. She is the Labor MP for Newcastle, where she was born. She has an academic background in electrical engineering and a career in hardware and software development. And most recently, she's been campaigning for the government to increase the number of females in ICT careers. She was quoted yesterday at Game Horizon Live saying that the lack of women in ICT is an absolute scandal that shames us as a country. She's talking about the UK, and I happen to believe it's true here as well. We should all be ashamed of that this is even an issue. We're supposed to be we keep touting that we're such a progressive country and we're the best country in the world. We've never even had a female president, a female vice president. And some of you...
No offense, and I know a lot of women, because there was a lot of women back when that chick who I'm not going to name was running for vice president, who was like, oh, we got to vote for her because she's got a vagina. No!
No, no.
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 We do not vote for people just because they have a vagina.
No. No, we do not. And I can't even remember her name. I can see her face as clear as day, but as soon as I heard her speak, I said no. And then
girl,
I didn't vote. Look,
no.
Look
girl,
and then I
no.
look, I didn't vote for her running mate either because I said, oh, my God, if he dies, she's going to be president. I can't do that either. I can't see it happening, no.
No,
and he was looking kind of rickety, and, you know, he's still around. Obviously, he would have survived, but I was worried.
The one thing that turned me off was the minute her whole family started acting like it was like a reality show.
Yeah.
I was like, no. I mean, beyond that you hit me as not a bright woman. No, I do not want my presidency, my country ran as a reality TV show.
Well, I think I was most offended that she kept coming back talking about family values and then her daughter turns out pregnant. Again, nothing wrong with that, but don't preach this and then this is going on in your house.
Yeah,
you know, that's a lie to me. It's not so much as what happened, it's that you were lying about it. You presented this image and this is who you really were. Be who you are. Don't leave any room. And I'd be like, you know, that our vice president drinks wine every night before she goes to bed, but they say she's not a lush. I'm like, drink on, girl, so long as you know you're not drunk when you hit the, don't hit the button when you're drunk or something.
Exactly.
I'm fine. I had no problem with Bill Clinton and what went on with him and Monica Lewinsky. As I said, that had nothing to do with me and my taxes and other things, as long as he's not involving what he's doing mm-hmm. in what involves us as a country. I don't care what he does in his free time. But, yeah, I voted for Hillary. I've told y'all that when she was in the primaries. I did not vote for Obama, and not because she had a vagina, but because, as I told y'all here, we went after her when she started the first time trying to come after video games, and we went after her, and she dropped that. She dropped it so fast, I was like, okay, that's results. I'll vote for you. You're listening. You
exactly.
are actually listening to us. So thank you. So then you get my vote. I know you're going to do what I want. And I hadn't actually
yeah.
seen Obama yet. I didn't pay him any attention. But once I did, I said, okay, he's good. But anyway, I agree with this, what she's saying as far as our country goes. And unfortunately, you guys are going to have to listen to us harp on this for a while. Because change.
Sarah Palin. Hey. You're right, Joe. That's her name, Sarah Palin.
Thank you. Her name ain't worth remembering. She's talking about running against Hillary. Hillary's going to chew her up and spit out the seeds.
No kidding. No kidding.
Just sit down.
Hillary doesn't get assumed. Hillary's not going to. She's...
Well, there's always some of you guys.
Robo-Hillary.
Robo-Hillary. That's right. Genetic mutation Hillary. Genetic clone Hillary. We can do all that.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm not done talking.
Okay, you're not done? Well,
we went off on a tangent. Anyway, make sure you watch this video that we are showing. You can go to Game Horizon on YouTube 2013, and I probably will be posting this up on the site here in just a moment. So if you can't find it, I got it. It's titled Girls in ICT. This is an exclusive session that she did, and she was talking about why the government has to do more to encourage and support diversity in the video game and technology sectors. I myself have been over kind of going back and forth with some of the developers on actually Games Industry International. If you like knowing about the industry, that's a good site to visit. They're friends of ours. But one developer said he just doesn't believe there's interest there. No women are interested in the tech industry. And this is the same argument we had last week during our night show. It's not a matter of not having interest. It's how do you interest somebody when all I see is boobs and big and blonde hair? I feel like that's not for me. Women don't operate on the same premise as men. And that's the first thing that we have to move towards to get diversity, is understanding that women do not react to things the same way that you do. When you realize that, then you will start to change how you do things. I'm not going to stick a naked elf on the front of my box, because as much as I may want women to like this when they see it and buy the game, they're automatically going to assume this was not marketed towards me, and I'm going to go this way and pick up the thing that looks like it is marketed towards me. There you go, guys. That's the beginning of changing the way you think. We're not like you that way. And there's nothing wrong with the difference. Just move in that direction with that first thought in mind. Other thing I had to talk about is Google Glass.
Yeah.
Not getting good reviews.
not getting good reviews?
No, it's not. Julie Odell over at VentureBeat is saying that Google Glass isn't and never will be a good device for consumers, and she has one. She says she can immediately see how it would be useful to some kinds of people, doctors, mechanical engineers, and any sort of field worker. She said, but lay folks, it only makes you look nerdy, makes you look like an economic target. And the reason we say economic target is because it's $1,200. If you got a pair on, you have $1,200 to just drop on nothing. Is also, as she said, it makes you less aware of the world around us, which is dangerous for us lady people. Yeah, to not know what's going on around you sometimes.
That's true. That's very true.
She said she signed up for Google Glass the first day of Google I.O. last year, and the device, she said she gave it to her husband. He loves it, she says, and he's a tech-obsessed gadget fiend, and even he has to say it's difficult to wear. So the first time he went outside with it on, he stepped in dog poop because he wasn't paying attention to the world outside that screen. And he says he refuses to wear it on public transportation for fear of being mugged. So it doesn't have many apps right now or features. He says it's incredibly non-intuitive. It's buggy. It's like a developer prototype. That's an expensive prototype, $1,200. She says, right now it can't do much aside from take bad pictures and perform Google searches based on your poorly interpreted shouting, because you have to talk really loud to it. She says maybe in a few months it'll be streaming Netflix cues or taking brilliant long-form blog post dictation or something, but right now not usable. And I've been hearing that a lot more. I got to say, now that I hadn't gotten a really good close-up view of it, I thought it was actual glasses. It's not actually glasses. It has a camera to the right side of your eye, and then it has this little light that's right in front of your eye. The screen is right there, dead smack in front of your eye, which is not what I was thinking that it was, which I can imagine is distracting, especially this big white thing on the side. You know, my eyes are automatically going to go look in that direction because it's something there in your peripheral vision. So,
I could see these built into sunglasses or regular glasses.
If they would do that, I think it would work better.
Like I said, the minute these work well, and the minute they add them with prescription glasses, oh my god.
You're in.
I'm in. They're going to be on my head. And I don't care if anybody says, oh, they're goofy looking. I don't care. I'm not listening to you anyways. I'm watching Netflix. Exactly how this is going to go. All right. Well, somebody else who does not like the Google Glass.
Uh-oh.
Surprise, surprise. Caesar's Palace.
Wow.
They say, oh, hell no. Google Glass violates Nevada law.
Oh, yes, because you can cheat that way. And then so.
According to our folks over at IGN, they pulled this from Computer World and The Verge, Caesar's Palace in Nevada will not allow patrons to wear Google Glass while betting. You think? I can't imagine why not.
Because it can card count, all kinds of stuff.
Some businesses have given Google Glass users the cold shoulder, and Caesar's Palace is the latest to join in on voicing its disdain over wearing the computing device. Not surprising, really. According to a Caesars Palace representative, Google Glass violates Nevada's gambling laws concerning the use of computer and recording devices while betting. Nevada gaming regulations, and those in other states as well, prohibit the use of computers or recording devices when gambling. A Caesars representative told The Verge, as a result, we cannot allow guests who are gambling to wear Google Glass. There have been numerous incidents around the country in which people have used computers or cameras secreted elsewhere to keep track of cards in blackjack games. This is coming from Caesar's Palace, Gary Thompson. And when they were caught, they went straight to jail. Do not pass go. Do not click $100. Wow. Yeah, this doesn't really surprise me. And anybody who would be wearing one of these in Caesar's Palace or any other place like this, are you going to be surprised if you get booted out the door?
No. That's like taking out your cell phone and deciding to tape the, you know, what's going on in the casino. I can't see this going well.
You know, in the back of my head, I'm like, you know what? They've got that specialty tape that they put on, like, computer parts, whatnot. You know if it's been lifted.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you put that over, say, the recording part, maybe that might fly a little bit better. You know, maybe these places can think of some way to work with this. Because this is the future, people. This is where we are going. This is not its final form. It's going to keep changing. But they're working on it. This is going to be the future.
Right? All right.
Joe, I see you there finally.
Are we ready? Okay, I got a serious list today. Assassin's Creed developer has been fired. Assassin's Creed as we know it may not be the same in the future. Jean-Francois Boivin has been fired by Ubisoft. Yes. According to GI.biz yesterday, former Assassin's Creed creative director, yes, Patrice Tissier revealed that he had been fired by Ubisoft after the publisher acquired THQ Montreal. Desilets tweeted earlier today that former Assassin's Creed production manager and THQ Montreal senior producer Jean-Francois Boivin was fired by the publisher. He says,
from a cannon into the sun.
He says, thinking of my good friend and producer who also got fired yesterday, I'm sharing your support with him. Boivin was with Ubisoft from 2005 and 2010, working as a production manager and associate producer for Assassin's Creed, Assassin's Creed 2, and Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. He left the publisher in 2010 to join Desilets at THQ Montreal. Desilets said that his team had been working on a game called 1666. Ubisoft has not confirmed if it's still in production. Ubisoft's actions are baseless and without merit. He says, Desilets told Polygon yesterday that he intends to fight Ubisoft vigorously for his rights, for his team, and for his game. What did you get fired for? Can we get some more information there?
That is definitely, we need more information. If you're going to tell us, hey, so-and-so's been fired.
Yeah, they're just saying they acquired, something else went down. Something else happened. You got to tell us what happened. What did you do? Because you didn't just do nothing. I mean, I'm not saying you did anything wrong, something.
Did you kiss the boss's daughter? Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you pee in the water? Did you?
Peed in the soup. He peed in the soup.
I'm sorry.
I watched Fight Club last night. I'm sorry.
Ew. All right. So, anyways, it is my go. Let me get you another one. Oh, my God. All right. Ouya. Ouya secures more money.
Oh, God. Do they
more money. And. Yeah. Ouya secures $15 million in. Oh, whoa. You know what game politics mean? You're going to break up. not cute. Ouya secures $15 million in VC funding and pushes retail launch to late June. Wasn't this supposed to be out this spring, and now it's coming late summer? Even as makers of the Ouya console are struggling to fill the orders of those individuals who backed them in their successful Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign to the tune of $8.3 million, the company behind the Android-based console has announced that they've secured $15 million more in venture capital financing and that it will move its retail release from early to late June. Yes, folks, that's right there, pushing it back. Again, the $15 million in funding is from Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers, the Mayfield Fund and NVIDIA Shasta Ventures and OCAM Partners. They spoke to Polygon yesterday after announcing the financial deal. Ouya CEO Julie Ehrman, the leader of this heist, says that the additional money will be used to support developers and help the company meet greater than expected demand at retail. When we first went out and started talking to venture capitalists, we believed that there was a market for an open game console that was as inexpensive and beautifully designed We believed better games, we believed gamers would come. We believed developers would bring content, and we already had a lot of support from developers. But you still don't know. The flip side of that is to take it to Kickstarter and say, hey, here's the dream, and if you want it, we will build it. Wow. All right, so in a separate discussion over Joystick, Ehrman said that the company is working on fixing problems with controller issues. Some of the buttons on controllers ship too early. Adopters can get stuck underneath its faceplate. She claims the problem has already been fixed and is being implemented in production. I don't know what the exact millimeter is, but we've increased the size just a little, so now the buttons don't get stuck under it. We made that change very early, so all the units are being produced with those larger buttonholes. The corrected controllers will ship alongside Ouya's retail launch units, but the company is also taking care of Kickstarter backers who've had problems with controllers as well. It's been pushed back at the release date from June 4th to June 25th. No, seriously, people. For those of you who are all, Ouya's the future. No, look, Ouya, and we told you when we first heard about this, Ouya, while not exactly a scam per se, is not the end all. But it's got these issues. You've had $8.3 million given to you. This is $15 million more.
Yep.
You promised early spring. You started a Kickstarter fund with wooden-shaped, a little box. You carved a box, and you carved a controller. That's it. You had nothing. Nothing. And then you wanted to promise spring. And now it's like late summer. So what, we're going to get it by Christmas now? Come on. Told you, people. Told you.
It is not cute. What's going on with Ouya?
What are you having for lunch, Mr. J? Mr. J.
You know what? I'm not speaking to Mr. J.
You know what I had?
I don't want to talk to you either if you had stuff for lunch. I has not had lunch.
I haven't had lunch yet.
Well, look,
I said
I has not had lunch.
I had a brownie.
Are you kidding me?
It was so good. I haven't had lunch yet, but I did have a brownie.
I'm done talking to you two. I'm done.
It was very good. It was good. It was nom.
And again, I say, very, very done. All right, more news from THQ. Former THQ frontman Danny Bilson has announced a very ambitious new game and film idea, according to Eurogamer. It's a game and film tie-in, sort of like Sci-Fi and Tryon's Defiance. Bilson didn't announce a name, but he does have a partner, his old friend Lloyd Levin, who produced the Hellboy, Watchmen, and Tomb Raider films. And he's very close to announcing a distribution partner. As for what it is, it's best heard from Danny Bilson himself. He said, so Lloyd and I got together and we said, let's make a micro-budget film series for streaming because the hardware now enables us to play the game and watch the film on the same device. He said, let's launch, let's say, 3 episodes a year. These are 2-hour episodes. And in between, thank you, Telltale Games, we'll do a narrative of 3 or 4 chapters. But we're going to go one step up. We're going to add a bunch of different features and a little bit more interactivity. Let's take the fan from the film through 3 chapters of the game right into the next film. We've got the writers of the film writing the game narrative. We've got the actors, likeness, voice, and the players. Fans can participate in the narrative up to a point and then rejoin the film narrative. And it's all delivered on the same device, the PC, the pad, or any digital device. I don't think this is going to work, dude. This is where we're going. They're all science fiction, fantasy, horror stuff that makes good gaming. And we're very close to announcing our distribution partners. And this is where I'm going next. He said, in combining, he said, this is what I've been doing my whole career. He says he has a history of film, TV, mainly as a writer, but also as a producer and director. He wrote, produced, and directed, this is from our UK people, series The Flash, 1990, and The Sentinel,
Jay.
96.
Jay.
Stop it, Jay. He also wrote the movie The Rocketeer, 1991, and on which he worked with Lloyd Levin, plus Viper. Remember that TV show, 1994, 1996? He also wrote the video game, yeah, I wouldn't be bragging about this, James Bond 007, Everything or Nothing. And, of course, he's been a long-time big wig in video games land, first for EA and then for THQ with the Red Balloons. Yeah, so I'm going to have to see this first because the way he's saying it, I don't think it'll work. You can look at Telltale Games and say they did, you know, we can do what they did, but how that worked is they didn't do the main storyline. They gave you offshoot of people where and I've heard of people that have had this idea quite a bit, but they never do it. There's characters in movies that capture your attention, and you wonder what happened to so-and-so, and they just don't tell you, and that's what they did. That's what Telltale Games went in and grabbed another part of the Walking Dead mythos and then did that story. So I don't know. And keep in mind, Walking Dead is already written there, Danny. You might want to think about that. We're not talking about creating something out of thin air. That stuff is already done. They just go in and grab it and then stick you in the middle of it so you can play or watch it. So it's done. Done deal. Think about that before you jump in there. I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't want an interactive movie because they already try to do that. Ginger doesn't watch TV. Do you know what they do now when you watch a show? If you have an iPad or some kind of little, or your cell phone, what you can do is they call it Story Sync. You go to so-and-so's website, and then when stuff is going on the show, it pops up on your iPad or phone, and you can click it, and it'll tell you what's going on behind the scenes, or it'll wait until the commercial, and it'll show you stuff.
I don't want that crap.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I found it very annoying. I tried to do it with True Blood, and I'm like, in a lot of ways, it's distracting.
I was watching something on HBO Go the other day, and it had all that, and I was like, I don't want to see this.
I don't mind watching it, but I don't want it going on at the same time as I'm doing the show, so I don't need to. Yeah, it was annoying.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I did not know this was coming. I gotta tell y'all about this.
All right, well then you tell us about that, and then I'm gonna skip off the beat for a second, and then come back to gaming.
This is gonna be real short. Okay, did you know, let me talk to my guys out there, because I don't know if Ginger likes Rambo. I love the Rambo movies, okay? I'm just telling y'all, I love them.
I remember that's who my brother always liked to dress up as Rambo.
I didn't like them when they were out. You know, I had to grow up to really appreciate the gratuitous violence of Rambo and how crazy that character was. Oh, there's a game. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. I wish I could show you this screenshot. I cannot. You can go over to videogamewallpapers.com and see the big screenshot. And then download the wallpaper. But it's based on the first three films. It's going to be out-of-cover shooting, stealth hunts, QTE fights. So it's kind of looking like Splinter Cell a little bit here, hiding in the woods. I'm going to put it like this. Splinter Cell meets Metal Gear Solid. How about that?
That's interesting. Multiple
paths. So different enemies, many missions, 35 enemy types. And as I said, it will have boss fights, but nobody's figuring out how they're going to work. How that's going to work. But anyway, the game is due out later this year on all platforms. Woot, woot.
Interesting.
It is.
I like it.
Pretty. So, so pretty.
All right. So I am, you know what? I'm just going to do this one instead really quick. All right. Let me get this going. Ah, oh, crap. I'm going to do it again. Hold on. It's opening windows. Oh, and that's loud. Loud.
Stop it.
Stop being loud, chick.
Stop it.
You're cute, but you're loud. The Cold War era official release date has been given. It's going to be May 13th of 2013. The Alina Digital team is pleased to announce the Cold War era is going to be available for purchase beginning Monday, May the 13th. Starting Monday, fans of TCWE will be able to order the game through the ColdWarEra.com. Interesting. After the date, pre-ordered game copies will also be distributed. DCWE is a one-hour real-time strategy game based on epic conflict between the Americans and the Soviets spanning 1950 to 2000. Players defeat their opponents with military might, stealthy spies, and advances in space race technology. Between now and Monday, members of the media... Oh, never mind. Y'all don't know. DCWE... couple of features. You can play within a realistic atmosphere that recreates the true Cold War, match up against the live opponents or crafty AI, lead the world as either the Americans or the Soviets to rewrite Cold War history, install military units to prop up local allied governments or transform rebels into revolutionaries in opposing countries, establish spy networks to support government propaganda campaigns, or shake loose the opposition's stronghold. Launch rockets, satellites, and astronauts into space to shock and amaze the world and win its alliance. Devise your own strategies and tactics, forcing your opponents to play by your rules. Initiate pro-government parades or incite riots to plunge countries into chaos. Awesome. So again, you want to check this out. It's over at thecoldwarera.com. They also have a facebook.com/thecoldwarera. They're also on Twitter. Check it out. Chick's kind of cute. I like your eyebrow ring. not my kind of thing usually, but this is at least different. I like the video whatnot that they added to it. That's interesting. So this could be fun. So if you're into that, check it out. They did not give me a price. I don't know how much it's going to be.
Yeah, that's what I was guessing.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. All right. And that is... Can I do another one?
Of course.
Because I think this is cool. This one has nothing to do with gaming, but it does have to do with a woman entrepreneur who I think is kind of cool. Spanx founder is the first female billionaire to join Buffett Gates' giving pledge. That's right. Sarah Blakely, who became the youngest female billionaire in the world, she made her fortune through her Spanx business.
I like Spanx.
Spanxes. Yeah. Buffett and Gates helped launch the Giving Pledge back
in... Oh, you meant that kind of Spanx. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Spanx. Yeah, that kind of Spanx.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, woo-hoo! Anyways, Buffett and Gates launched their Giving Pledge back in June of 2010, asking the super wealthy to donate the majority of their fortune to causes. The group announced Tuesday that Blakely and eight other signatories had committed to giving half or more of their wealth to charity. That's awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So way to go, Sarah Blakely. Yay!
Go, Sarah. Go, Sarah. Go, Sarah. Go, Sarah. I'm sorry. I had to do it. I'm sorry. I had to. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to reach back and grab that whole thing.
That's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
I couldn't help.
Can I do another one really quick?
Go for it. Go for it. Go!
Yay! Trifecta! Sony! Sony says, hey, Microsoft. Here's some shade, baby. We've never considered always online for our PS4.
Ooh, them fights.
I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com. They say, while Microsoft has earned some goodwill from the game community this week after a memo revealing that the next Xbox is not going to require an online connection all the time in order to work, Sony is elbowing its way into the debate by saying, hey, we never considered doing such a thing. Did we consider it? No, we didn't consider it, says Sony Worldwide Studios President Shuichi Yoshida over at Game Informer magazine. The main reason being that many countries don't have robust internet connections. It makes sense for people to have internet connections to play online games, but for offline games, there are many countries that we saw that do not have really robust internet.
Word.
Yeah. This is hot. So the PS4, not at all going to have Always Online. And that is why I'll be getting a PS4 and be given the big double bird flip to
Ginger, that's mean. Don't do that. I can't even say that with a straight face. Ginger, do it.
And Jay, I want some. Though I don't want my fried chicken to be greasy, though.
I do. Man, it's good when it's greasy. And if it's, I'm one of the people that likes the food just a little bit old. I don't want it fresh out of the fire. Just a little bit old.
No.
She don't know. She don't know.
No.
But I can't eat that stuff. You're evil. There.
Of course I am.
Not you. That other boy there. That Jay boy for telling us what he's eating and not sharing. We don't appreciate it. All right, this next story is going to make Ginger laugh. Are you ready, Ginger? there's gold and then there are hills. Actually, there's not. Diablo 3 auction house was taken down by a gold-duping bug.
Uh-oh.
Blizzard made Diablo 3 an always-online experience, see Microsoft take notes, to protect features like the game's auction house from outside attacks. Unfortunately, it's still vulnerable to problems from the inside, such as a gold-duping bug that was discovered yesterday after Blizzard released the game's latest patch here in North America and in South America. GI.biz said the company has addressed the exploit by pulling all of the region's auction houses, whether gold-based or real money-based, offline. They pulled them offline while it identifies users who benefited from the gold duping and amends their accounts accordingly. I think they should be banned, personally. At this time, they said, and after careful consideration, we've decided to not move forward with rolling back the servers. A Diablo 3 community manager said this on the game's forums, said that we feel that this is the best course of action given the nature of the dupe. how relatively few players used it and the fact that its effects were fairly limited within the region. We've been able to successfully identify players who duplicated gold by using the specific bug and are focusing on these accounts to make corrections. While this is a time-consuming and very detailed process, we believe it's the most appropriate choice given the circumstances. The community manager, yes, I'm using that fake voice on purpose, the community manager also said that the bug has been identified and a fix implemented, and gold trading in the regions where the patch went live has also been suspended. As of the time of this story, all auction houses on North and South American servers remain, quote, down for maintenance. This is the first time they actually came out. And
said, hey, our stuff's been hacked.
Yeah, thank you for saying.
And this is how you do it. This is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
You admit that, hey, we got a problem.
That's right.
Speaking of problems.
Uh-oh.
Joe Lobato, I'm so sorry. Colorado man Joe Lobato was fired from his job after posting a status update complaining about work on his Facebook page. He told KUSA News, 9 News, there we go, that he was feeling severely sick on the job. He said that he had it so bad that it felt like someone was kicking him in the stomach. He went on to say that his supervisor's response to his illness was less than sympathetic, saying, he told me that I wasn't allowed... What is that noise?
Someone is sawing up people in the backyard.
Okay.
No, actually, it's a metal pipe, but I thought the sawing up people was more interesting. Anyway.
he told me that I wasn't allowed to leave my machinery again. Once he got home, Joe logged into Facebook to vent, and he posted a 9-sentence status update to include the statement, guess they think a person is a machine and can't get sick. Well, one of Joe's very oh-so-awesome coworkers / friend reported the post to their boss, which led to Lobato's termination for gross misconduct and posting negative comments about the company on a public forum. No, I'm sorry. Your Facebook page is not a public forum. It is, but it's not. It's not. Not because it's yours. It's your little private space. A blog, not a public forum. Facebook, not a public forum. Posting it on the business's actual Facebook page, that would be a public forum.
Okay.
Posting it on the business's website, that would be a public forum.
But it is a public forum, unfortunately, Ginger. No. The reason being is you're not.
We need the law set out for that.
Well, this is how this works. If you were told you had to have a Facebook page for work and he posted there is different as opposed to his own Facebook page. The reason being is nobody forced him to sign up for Facebook. So I don't agree with what they did to him. He should not have been fired. Really, it is his personal opinion. It's the same as having been overheard saying something, you know, when you had left work and you were, you know, at somebody's house visiting. He said, man, I can't stand so-and-so. Yeah, it was gossip, and the person who said that should be smacked in the head. But it is a public forum. It's Facebook, and they tell you that. Even remember, we did a story this couple of years ago where they were saying them and Microsoft were saying, anything you put up, we can use in our commercials. We can put your picture all over the stuff. We don't have to compensate you because you put it on here as public domain. So it is kind of public forum. We don't like to believe it. But this is also the thing that we harp on here. If you don't want it seen forever, don't put it on Facebook.
I have to call,
safest place is in your
head. Totally off subject really quick. Amy, at Miss Brightside 116 on Twitter. I don't know who the hell you are, but you picked up on my sci-fi sci-fi tweet that I just put up like a minute or two ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know who you are. Call me a freak because I'm showing up on your Twitter feed. Don't follow me then, because I'm sure as hell not following you.
Who is
that? Yeah. I don't know. Some chick that apparently was following me. I tweeted about sci-fi being crap, and she tweets back, who the F are you? Get off my Twitter account, you freak, and keep your opinions to yourself. Thanks.
Wait a minute. Where is she? Where is she?
She's on Twitter. At MSBrightside116.
Where is she? I'm going to find her.
You find her. You find her.
I will find her.
Learn to Twitter. Do you know how the internet works?
Probably not.
Sorry, did the blonde dye go to those brain cells of yours?
Ooh, Ginger, that was ugly.
It's true.
I'm blonde today. In Second Life. No. You know I didn't do any blonde hair. I had to add this in Second Life part on there. Oh, my God. Okay, some of you looking for something new to play on your iOS, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever. Anyway, Smart Bomb Interactive has launched a new iOS title called... Did I give you the link to this? I'm just all off in space somewhere. I don't think I get... No, I did not, because it's not... I'm sorry, Ginger.
Ginger. Oh, I want a picture. I want a picture, Jay.
I don't. Evil so-and-so. All right,
what you giving me? What you giving me?
That's the trailer for the lovely game, Tunnel Town. It's a spinoff of their...
I already got that up.
Oh, you do? Okay. Well, it's a spinoff of what they're calling their wildly popular online game, National Geographic Animal Jam. I don't know if it's wildly popular, but I played it for a few seconds. Okay, so this is a free-to-play game for your iPad, iPod, and iPhone, and it lets players of all ages tunnel underground with a cast of very unusual bunnies from the world of Jama. Why would they do that? Bunnies? Why? After discovering a strange new world, these bunnies need your help to build a vast subterranean playground with all the comforts of home. Players can check out Tunnel Town at tunneltown.com. It's supposed to be the first iOS game to give players complete creative control in designing an underground world that is totally unique, entirely interactive, and all in 3D. You can breed your bunnies the old-fashioned way, on the dance floor, of course. you can... and you can discover strange new species of bunnies, of course. Raise baby bunnies by hand and watch them grow. You can pick them up, feed them, give them their interactive toys, put them to work mining gems. Wait a minute, what kind of child labor stuff y'all got going on here? Put the baby bunnies to work, really?
But they're so cute!
You can combine different species to discover rare varieties like the shy jackalope and the frozen chinchilly and the gentle but elusive squid bunny. And, of course, two dozen other species of burrowing rabbits and more on the way.
Adorable.
I don't know about this one. Players will have endless hours of entertainment right at their fingertips. They said they've created a great game that is truly free to play. No, it is not. And allows players to create an amazing underground playland and invite their friends to visit all without spending a dime until you need to upgrade your bunnies or feed them or something. I don't know if they are people. I'm just saying. They always say it's free, and then you know how they do. They said, of course, you have, again, complete creative control, and your possibilities are unlimited.
I want to know why the girl bunny can't fight the weird alien thingy.
Yes, and why does he have on a tuxedo? And why can't the girl bunny wear a tuxedo? Maybe I want a tuxedo with a flower at the neck. Maybe.
I know, right?
I'm just saying. I don't like flowers, but that's not the point. Anyway, they said, of course, buildings on a predetermined playset gets old. They wanted you to be able to design a whole world for your bunnies to live in, and it makes them feel much more like real pets because you can pick them up and play with them in a world you created yourself. You know what makes them feel like real pets? Having an actual bunny. Just saying.
True.
And while I know bunnies dig tunnels, they don't actually live underground, do they? I tend to see them hopping around here all the time. Been trying to catch me one. It's a little pink one that lives in the back there. He got a little pink nose. He's a little white. I'm sorry.
Yep. I don't know. He's kind of cute, though. He's kind of cute. I kind of like them.
Do you want me to bring you a bunny, Ginger?
Can I eat him?
See? No. See, you sound like my grandmother. No. No, when I bring you eat him. No. No, 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 Ginger. He's to...
But.
He's please? To love on.
Wait, please? All right, here we go. Here we go. The Aurora World.
Uh-oh.
The Aurora World wants you.
You and you.
Fantasy, yeah, all right. Fantasy MMO RPG. Ooh, yay, thank you. Ooh, he's going to catch me some rabbits. GDG Games, global publisher and distributor of interactive online entertainment, blah, 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 blah. Today announced it will launch an all-new election system giving players the opportunity to reign as king in the popular fantasy MMO RPG, The Aurora World. This exciting new main feature will allow players to campaign for votes in hopes of becoming king for the month and receive really cool items.
I want to be king. Queen.
The Aurora World wants you to get out and vote in the adventurous fantasy world of the Aurora World. The balance of powers can be tricky. Individually, one nation can be stronger than the other two. But if those two were to unite, it could spell trouble. The new election system will let players decide on an alliance or having the command of all clans, either voting for a new ruler or running for kings themselves.
Da, da, da.
Yeah. Who will stand out as a leader and get the votes? Each month, the top 40 players within each nation will have the opportunity to campaign for votes in hopes to become king. As the elections continue, candidates will quickly be eliminated until there are only 7 candidates remaining, leaving 1 elected king and 6 officers. There are several cool advantages to becoming king. The king will receive a special mount and can cast nationwide buffs, plus the king and his officers are temporarily chat ban players. Yay! All right, so you can check this out over at the auroraworld.com. That's kind of cool. I wouldn't mind being king of the game.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to
be like, no, you're too stupid to chat. No, you do. No.
That would be the only reason to become king, because this is, I'm sorry, Aurora World. Other than, okay, what is with the outfits? I'm not really sure what you're doing. We talked about this before. Okay, I got all this.
No, really big spiders. No.
I can't. Yeah, I'm tired of this variety. I'm sorry. I'm going to stick with my Secret World and APB and those things. I'm tired of the dragons and stuff. I really am. Sony is really, they're taking some jabs at some people. I don't think the Nintendo and Microsoft are catching on to this. Sony, come on. I know what y'all are up to. I'm kind of proud of you. Okay, but they're saying, you people, you day traders, and you people that we talk to about, you know, buying some stock in your game company to get some of your money back, they said, don't freak out. Take your hand off the mouse. Don't sell anything, because they will not be selling the PlayStation 4 at a loss from day one. So basically they're coming out saying, we're that confident. They said, unlike the PS3, we are not planning a major loss to be incurred with the launch of the PS4. That's from Sony CFO Masaru Kato during an earnings call that ended this morning, which we were not on that one either. I can't do it. He says, at the time we developed PS3, we made a lot of in-house investments to develop the chip, the cell chip. Development of the chip saw the silicon processing and all the facilities invested by ourselves. I said, but this time we have a team working on chip development, they say. So we already have existing technology to incorporate, and also product investment, and all the facilities will now be invested by our partners, other foundries, so we won't have to make all the investment here in-house. Sony did not offer a sales forecast for PS4 for the year ending on March 31st, 2014, nor did anybody ask about it, apparently, during the conference. We would have, if we would have been able to stay awake, that is. Sony did turn a profit a year after a record loss during PS Synocalypse, which is not bad, with Kaz Hirai in his first year being in charge. He didn't necessarily work miracles, but he did reorganize and streamline the company, cutting thousands of jobs and getting back to black by selling the expensive office buildings in Japan and here in America, plus Sony's stakes in DNA and M3 Holdings as well. Doing so enabled them to splash out and acquire Gakkai last summer. Remember they bought them? We told you. Their profit for this past year, 43 billion yen. That's $458 million. Not bad, Sony. Combined with PS3. Yes, they need platformers, is what they need. Combined with PS3 and PS2, sales were down to 16.5 million from 18 the year before. They said in the year ahead, they're expecting to increase their sales significantly, primarily due to the planned production of the PlayStation 4 in the year ending next year. They said operating income, however, is expected to be essentially flat year on year, primarily due to increase in research and development. Blah, 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 blah. There. I don't know what you got planned over there. I feel like something's coming good from y'all. Think you all are learning from the other two's mistakes. You used to be the big man on campus. Looks like you're ready to be that again. I want to see what you got. I won't be playing GTA 4 on you, but or 5, but I'm real happy.
Yeah. PS4, yeah, I'm totally grabbing one. Somebody was asking, yeah.
I'm getting really increasingly more and more disillusioned with Microsoft and this whole, we're making an entertainment center for the living room. If I want an entertainment center, I go buy that stuff. I want my stuff to play my flipping games. That's what I want. Games, yeah. Nothing else. I don't need.
Right. Sorry. What do we got for the next one?
Cut me off. I was fixing to get on a tirade. Thank you, Ginger.
It's okay. We love you. We love you anyways.
Thank you.
Elite Sniper Nazi Zombie something.
Wait a minute. You didn't give me a chance to do the music.
My bad. I paused it. You do it.
Wait a minute. I got to find it now. See, you caught me all unawares. Wait a minute. All right. Zombie Watch.
There we go. Sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army multiplies the terror with spring updates. Independent UK developer Rebellion releasing today an update 1.05 for co-op survival shooter sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army, not only enabling co-op players to multiply the number of enemies they face, but also adding support for drop-in, a drop-out functionality. Hot on the heels of April's popular multiplayer update, allowing solo players to increase the number of enemies they face to terrifying levels, this update is the second major feature added to the game in less than a month based on suggestions and comments from the game's growing community.
That is so delicious, that exposure.
I know, right? I love it when they listen to us. So anyways, we got a couple of new key features for this. We got drop-in, drop-out functionality to help players find a game quicker and join other games in progress. Co-op enemy multiplier, allowing two or three players to multiply the enemies to the levels faced in four-player co-op. And a couple of bug fixes. Yay! So again, this is Sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army.
Look at that. Okay.
That is gorgeous.
It is. I like how they keep, that is hordes of just blowing up people. Look at that.
And that is exactly how I expect the zombie thing to look. See, they're not all running at you. They're kind of doing a shambling thing.
Well, they may be able to run. You saw World War Z. What if they climb? What if they climb, Ginger? What if they climb?
World War Z freaks me the hell out. I would not be watching that. Thank you.
I'm going to give it to you again. Come on, let's put the trailer up again.
No!
I like being scared, though, so. But be warned, if I'm ever around you and I say I'm scared, that would be the time not to touch me. Do not attempt to comfort me. You will earn yourself a right hook to the face, and I won't even realize I did it. That's your warning.
The only thing that I'm a little bit sad that PS3 does not have, the Xbox has, is the option to play HBO Live. Sony, get on that, because I do not want to have to pay $10 to watch HBO Live.
I mean, HBO Go.
HBO Go, whatever.
Were you able to do HBO Go without having a subscription?
Yes.
No. What do you mean no? Is it yes or is it no, woman?
Oh, I don't have a subscription. Yes, I was watching it.
Oh,
I was watching it with a friend, somebody else.
Okay, somebody else has a subscription. I was about to say, I'm about to go in there.
Somebody was saying, I was not.
Well, you know what? HBO needs to go a la carte. Seriously, HBO.
Seriously? Yes.
Why can't you?
Because I would totally pay just for, this or that. You know, a True Blood, I would pay to watch. Game of Thrones, I would pay to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else they have, but those two for certain I'd pay to watch.
See, people,
sci-fi, if you had anything that was worth watching, I would pay for
sci-fi. Why,
after they changed it from sci-fi to that,
yeah,
sci-fi,
you can't even spell it right. That's the last thing we need, is people who can't spell. Sorry, you could spell your channel name right. I can understand when you're tweeting
Stargate. First they tried to change my Stargate from Stargate to Star Drama with that Stargate SGU, which, hey, Season 2 and Season 3 were better than Season 1. Season 1 was nothing but sex and drama. Season 2 and 3 were good. Or actually, was it just Season 2? We didn't get into Season 3. Canceled it. But either way, it was good. I liked it. Should have given it more seasons after that. They were going the right way.
They were going the right way? Cut them, Ginger. Cut them.
They were going the right way, and then they went and they worked it.
All right, go check that out right there. We just got this in. I mean, it is smoking. It's still so hot. It just came in. You people.
So
it's smoking. You people with your droids. Got a free game coming out today. Yeah, there's a trailer right there. It is from Game Anvil. They're announcing the debut of their latest title, Dark Avenger, on Google Play today. Right just now. I mean, I just got this. It popped in just as I was talking to Ginger.
This is good looking.
Yep, Dark Avenger is a third-party title developed by Boolean Games and published by Game Anvil through their $10 million partner fund. The game brings the popular dungeon crawler genre to mobile with smooth, intuitive controls and brilliant HD graphics. Dark Avenger is the premier hack-and-slash dungeon crawler for your droid. With its smooth gameplay and brilliant artwork, the game quickly immerses you, the dark fantasy world of Dark Avenger. The game is a progressive action RPG and features progression through stages. This allows you to easily switch back and forth between single-player mode and the game's focal point, which is, yes, real-time global PvP, Ginger. Global take on the world center. The game's powerful game engine allows you to engage in real-time combat with up to 6 people at one time. Bring it on. 3v3 deathmatch.
That is hot.
Right? Right? You're also able to collect points and rise quickly through the leaderboards, and you can win awesome prizes based on global ranking. I don't know what these prizes are, but when they say they're awesome, Ginger, why am I not seeing this? You're not sharing.
I just had it up. I just dropped it because it sounded like you're winding down.
Oh, Jay says, Dark Avenger. Now that's what I'm talking about. Yes. The game comes with one available hero, the Mighty Templar, as a namesake to the game's title, Dark Avenger. Customization and skills will be put to the test, as these features alone will distinguish the best gamers from the rest. Dark Avenger comes as a service game with new characters, such as Ranger, set to be released through frequent game updates. So they're very excited to work with Boolean Games through the $10 million partner fund and bringing Dark Avenger to the masses. That's from Kiyu Lee, who's the president over at Game Anvil USA. Says its smooth gameplay combined with its dark aesthetics definitely sets the bar for a truly immersive mobile gaming experience, and we're sure that fans of hack and slash dungeon crawler genre will fall deeply in love with the game that we've created. Again, it is available for free on your Google Play Store. You can check our website shortly. I will make sure you get all the goods so you know where to go get it, because I'm downloading it right now already. I see it says downloading from Google Play Store. It may not run on mine, because, well, it didn't say it won't run with jelly bean or anything like it. Or, what is it, gingerbread? Yeah. What are we on? Gingerbread? Bread pudding? What,
something like that.
What operating system are we on now? Cinnamon roll? I'm going to need you to stop.
Something like that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to get an image up, because this
pancake. I'm going to need them to stop with the food names for the operating system. I don't like
it. I'm hungry now. Why are you even talking about that? Now I want food.
You know why? Because, I didn't tweet to you. I thought I sent it to you. We were at Golden Corral last Friday, and I had some bread pudding, and I thought I sent you a picture. I was like, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's like the best bread pudding I think I ever had, Golden Corral. I'm quite impressed.
Wow. All right. So that did not exactly get very big. Never mind. All right. So I just got to tell you all about this. I'll tweet it out later. Texas Tech coach sends out a message to all their players saying, lay off the video games.
What?
Yeah.
I quit, coach.
The head coach for the Texas Tech football program is preparing players coming back from spring break to get ready for training camps this summer. A tweet from Texas Tech offensive lineman Alfredo Morales offers a picture of the note from the new coach Cliff Kingsbury, and it says, we advise you to be active over break as you'll need to be ready to work once June rolls around. Sitting at the house playing COD, 2K13, Madden against 12-year-olds online doesn't suffice as activity, even if you claim to wreck shop.
Yeah. I quit.
That was funny, though. Alfredo signed off the tweet with the hashtags boom, come at me, and wreck 'em. I love it. I'm going to have to go find him and follow him, because he sounds funny.
I like the come at me.
We've got 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Xbox killer takes conviction fight to Florida Supreme Court.
Ew.
Yeah, an attorney for convicted Deltona, Florida mass murderer Troy Victorino will once again attempt to appeal his client's conviction during arguments this week before the Florida Supreme Court. In September 2006, Victorino and another killer were sentenced to death for the brutal 2004 slaying of 6 people and a dog using baseball bats and knives. The crime has been described as one of the most gruesome mass killings in the state's history. 2 other suspects were sentenced to life in prison, but Victorino was given 4 consecutive death sentences for his part in the crime. I like that. We're going to kill you. We're going to bring you back. We're going to kill you. We're going to bring you back. We're going to kill you. We're going to bring you back. And one last time, we're going to kill you.
I think they should.
Yeah. prosecutors proved to a jury that the crime was quite substantial. Victorino had been referred to as Xbox killer because the crime revolved around property he claimed was stolen from a house that he and others were squatting in, most notably an Xbox console. 25-year-old Jerome Hunter was also sentenced to death. Victorino has unsuccessfully tried to get his conviction overturned before in the state's highest court. He was convicted on July 25th of 2006 on 6 counts of first-degree murder, 1 count of abuse of a dead human body, 1 count of armed burglary of a dwelling, 1 count of conspiracy to commit aggravated battery, murder, armed burglary of a dwelling, and tampering with physical evidence, and 1 count of cruelty to an animal. Wow. All right, so he killed 6 people over an Xbox? Is that what I'm understanding here? Well, I mean, it wasn't just an Xbox, but an Xbox was in everything that he stole. Oh, my God. All right. You know what? No. Go to jail.
Okay, I'm trying to tell her. We got to go, woman. Okay, we're going to talk to you guys later on tonight, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. We'll probably talk more about this and among other things. You know how we do. Make sure you're here. You can call in, talk to us, all that good stuff. And we're out.